This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. My guest today, Tanya Lenz, is the founder of Soul Dust Academy. Of course, as a shamanic practitioner, you know I love the name of that website. She's also a writer and an educator. She was initiated into the shamanic realm of the Peruvian Andes. What does that mean to a woman who holds a PhD in medieval British literature, and how can her work help us? Well, we're going to find out as we chat, as I chat with Tanya today about her latest work, Fire of the Phoenix Initiation, as well as the work that she does through the Soul Dust Academy. So welcome to Soulful Living, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. Okay, so as I'm reading through your book and I'm doing some research on you, it really came to my mind, you know, what does it mean to someone who holds a PhD in medieval British literature to be initiated into the lineage of the Peruvian Andes shamanic culture?
That is a great question. And I guess the short answer would be balance and healing. But the long answer is, you know, bringing together the head and the heart, I think, is a little bit of the longer answer. And so the coming together of the North American people and the South American people is part of a prophecy of the Caro people. And it's really that the North American people have been holding a lot of that rational, logical energy for a long time, which it was what I was relying on almost exclusively for my PhD work, that analysis and, you know, using the logic. And the South American people have been holding more of that heart energy or the intuition and healing. And so by coming together, you know, as I traveled to Peru to interact with the Caro elders and as they traveled here to work with us, there was a balancing and a healing. It was very profoundly healing for me to move away from so much of that head energy into more of my heart energy, because I really had kind of closed that off. And that's not healthy for anybody to close off their heart in that way. So that's a little bit of what it meant to me. Of course, it's been a long journey. We all have our own journeys of healing to undertake. And that's what's so exciting about this time that we're living in, is we have so many opportunities to do that healing and to engage in the balancing and the shifting that's going on a planetary level these days. So it's exciting. It's going on our individual level, but also on a much more global level. So,
yes, you know, I talk about that deep connection through all of humanity, really through all beings, a lot. And I also talk about the internet, which I think has been really beneficial in bringing the Western and the South and the North American and the Eastern cultures together, as we have access to more and more information that causes us to maybe have that sudden awakening or that sudden shift of, wow, there really is more out there than, you know, living the dogma or living, completely connected to the literal aspects of learning and really being so disconnected, as you said, from our heart center. So now we're at a place where we're merging that together and finding healing and access to, you know, to an intuitive process that is really beautiful.
Absolutely. And I really love what you say about, exploring realms that aren't just the literal, because I think particularly in the West, we are taught from so early that, we have a very scientific-based culture in the West, and if you
right.
can't prove it, it doesn't exist, that kind of thing. And so I think the realm of the heart and the realm of intuition and dreams functioned pretty centrally for me, both in my graduate work. It was kind of a bridge between my graduate work and my shamanic work. There's so much there. There's so much richness, and there is an opportunity to connect with mm-hmm. other forces, other people. And you're right. The internet is helping facilitate that kind of, I don't know if it's a larger consciousness going on, but a greater sense that we're all connected, which I think is absolutely wonderful.
Oh. Yeah, it's called the internet, but I just, and when people shorten it down to the net, that's what I think. And sometimes I actually get a visual of a net around the whole globe, like I would as if I were in a shamanic journey, but I see that net around Earth and the various pieces that kind of spread out along the way. And it can be very empowering for us when we use it as a tool for healing and wisdom and love and light and learning and all that good stuff. So how did you end up on that path of, entering into the shamanic realm and beginning to study with the elders?
That's a great question. And as I mentioned just in the last bit there, dreams were really central as the bridge. So I studied medieval literature, as you mentioned, and I was doing my dissertation on Chaucer, and Chaucer has written a number of dream visions where the narrator falls asleep and then, the dream becomes the poem. And I was working on these, and then this book fell into my hands that was written by who I ended up studying with, my teacher here, and the title of the book was something like Dreaming the World into Being. And so I became very curious about shamanism and what does it mean to dream the world into being and how do dreams function for the shaman. And then one thing led to the next. I was a bit resistant at first. I didn't want to go through the whole thing, but ended up doing it. And it was one of the best things that I've done. And again, like I said, it's been balancing and healing primarily for me. We never know what's next, but I can't wait to see where it leads.
Well, and it reminds me of that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So obviously you were ready. Oh, that gave me chills from head to toe. You were ready to make a shift in your life and allow, spirit to kind of take you in a new direction, which is really cool.
Yes,
really cool. So, listeners, again, I am chatting with Tanya Lenz. You can find all of her information here at the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio, access to her website, Soul Dust Academy. And speaking of learning online, she has several different teachings and courses available on her website, including access to purchasing her new book, which we're going to talk about in just a second, Fire of the Phoenix in this initiation. So let's jump into that. You spent time in Peru, India, and Australia, and through the process, you not only transformed your life with these ancient spiritual teachings, but you share the work in your new book, Fire of the Phoenix Initiation, and you share various exercises along with your story on how people can use these tools to make shifts in their own life. So let's talk about that. How did you end up in that position, to visit Peru and Australia and India?
Well, I have always loved travel. And So Peru, of course, was part of my shamanic training going there. And India had always kind of been tapping me on the shoulder for you know, years and years. And I had always just kind of said, okay, someday I'll travel there. And I finally had the time and the opportunity to go, and that became part of it. And the same with Australia. So, you know, it's kind of a mystery the way this unfolded. And I had no idea setting out that this is what would come out of it. But, you know, and I do feel like travel is a kind of initiation as well. I feel like our lives are always giving us the opportunity to become initiated every single moment. And so that's what the exercises are for. They're for people who would like to engage at a deeper level. Of course, you can read the book just as you would any other kind of for entertainment or enjoyment, but the exercises give you an opportunity to process the things that have gone on in your life and to really fully take the gifts that are there for us. If we don't process through fully, we don't get the gifts. You know, sometimes it's painful to process through, but there's healing and gifts through that process. And so that's what the exercises are for. And so hopefully it's enjoyable and useful for people.
And so what do you mean when you say they can initiate? What does that word mean to you in correlation with the book and in people's lives?
Yeah, great question. So I feel like we've lost, you know, this tradition of initiation that a lot of ancient cultures had. So traditionally, it was between, say, adolescence and adulthood, or childhood and adulthood. There was a ceremony or a ritual or some rite of passage that would mark this transition from one state of being to another state of being. And I feel like we've not only lost that on the whole for our culture, for, you know, just transitioning from childhood or adolescence into adulthood, but every other kind of threshold that we cross as well. We've kind of lost the ritual and the ceremony and the acknowledgement of it. You know, the initiation can happen, of course, into shamanic lineages and knowledge. There could be those spiritual transitions and initiations as well. So there are initiations everywhere that it's just we need to engage and acknowledge the opportunity and really reflect, I think, on the stages that we're going through, the transformations. What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for how I'm going to act differently? Going back to the example of the child becoming an adult, that child dies essentially to the community in a lot of cases, and they're marked somehow to acknowledge this huge change. They're going to be a completely new person. They're going to have new roles. It's a really big transformation. And so bringing that back to our lives, we are living in this time where there's so much transformation and opportunity for us to, you know, leave the past behind, step into higher levels of being and spiritual growth opportunities everywhere. And so how do we engage with that? How do we acknowledge it? How do we use the experiences that we have gone through in our lives that very often aren't easy, right? I mean, we've gone through a lot of stuff that isn't easy. But how can we use those experiences as kind of jumping off points into a different way of being, a new, those are our initiations into a new level, a new reality. And what does that mean for how we'll live differently? So I hope that kind of answers the question. It's a hard question. What is initiation?
Yeah, it really is. But I agree. You know, we, as the Western culture has lost much of the sacred rite, you know, the sacredness of transition and ritual and ceremony and how those transformations in our lives can be looked at through initiation into a different phase of life. You know, in the first chapter of your book, you talked about your experience on the Ganges River and with Kumar, your guide at the time. And one of the things that I underlined was when you were talking about the Hindu god of destruction, Shiva, transformation and death, and that we must first part with what is not serving us and say goodbye to our false selves before we can truly create and be fully alive. And I sat back and I thought about that. And then like a couple of paragraphs down, there was another one that said, living so intimately with death reminds us to live each and every moment of our life fully and to do so today, what must be done to be ready for death tonight. What that said to me was, you know, we really need to live in the present and embrace each moment. But really, you know, facets of death are just letting go of what is not serving us and being okay with that. And that may be an initiation or a ritual attached to just letting go of that. Is what you need to make that shift easier and easier. I found it very profound, and I was grateful to have had the experience to read that piece.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's a great quote to pull out to support the what we were talking about with the initiation. So I opened the book in India in Varanasi, which is a place that's very conscious of death. There are the cremation fires burning there on the banks of the Ganges River that have been burning supposedly for endlessly forever, and people go there to die, to get out of the cycle of samsara of coming back again and again in reincarnation, as they believe in India. So it's a very spiritual city, but again, it's so conscious of death. Death is everywhere. But another name for Varanasi, as you'll read in my book, is Benares, which is the city of life. So it's this consciousness of death and life being two sides of the same coin. And that to have one, we have to have the other. And I think that's another sad fact of our culture in recent years, is that we've kind of ignored the fact of death. And we're in denial about it. And I think this is getting better slowly. But if we ignore the fact of death, we're also ignoring life. We can't fully live exactly as you said. We can't fully live if we don't recognize that we have to let go of what's ready to go. We have to let go of what's ready to die. And that's everything from a belief that has just outlived its usefulness in our lives it could be physical death, but there are so many other layers of just letting go of what's no longer serving. So we can step into the new.
And so you traveled to Australia as well, and you share that journey. Can you give us an idea of something that really stood out as being memorable and special? I know there's a lot in the book that covers that. I'd like to hear a piece from you that really stands out to you as something that we can all learn from and take into our lives to help and ease us in our own shifts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so something big from the Australia section. The Australia section was really a lot about, again, initiations. There were some traditional initiations there. Using a lot of dreams, expanding that consciousness there to learn lessons and to connect with different forces that are out there. I think that's something that we can all definitely use and grow, and goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation. But just kind of surrendering that overly rational mind and opening up to the other knowings that we can have, because we can learn so much from ourselves, our higher selves, and other spiritual forces that are out there, if we can really just get beyond, first of all, believing that it doesn't exist, and then that rational mind a lot of times gets in the way. So if we can surrender that, and meditation helps a lot, some people with this, but just opening up into the other ways of knowing, I think, can be hugely helpful for all of us on our path. And we can access that at any time, day or night, once we know how to do it and we're comfortable with it. And so that can help us answer questions. We don't have to go outside ourselves to get guidance on what our next step is, or, you know, it's kind of using our intuition a little bit as well and tuning into our hearts and just, what's the next step for me in my life? What do I need to learn in this situation? And so we can use that moment by moment to guide us into our best lives.
And so basically you're using it as a path to direct revelation. And when you talk about dreaming, then are you talking about our sleep dreams or conscious dreaming and you know, kind of creating our own waking dreams?
All of the above. There's so many different types of dreams. One definition of a dream that I read that was really wonderful is something like, I'm paraphrasing here, it is a connection to kind of the source energies that are there. It's just opening up to some higher levels of awareness is what the dream is. And it can be accessed at night. It can be accessed through a daydream. It can be accessed through a shamanic journey. There are so many different types of dreams and dreaming.
Well, and I find it really interesting that you talked about being able to, you know, access that information for yourself and not necessarily have to reach out to somebody else. I had a client call me this morning who was struggling with something, and I, you know, suggested just that. I said, you know, well, why don't you take a few minutes and really connect in and see what kind of answers come up for yourself, you know, before I give you my guidance or you reach out to somebody else's guidance, really step in and be quiet enough to hear source or creation or God or whatever you want to call it, your higher self, give you an answer as to what your next step should be and what feels right for you. So I love that you brought that up and that is, you know, part of your teachings in the book. And so the third part, part three, was on the wing with the condor. And we've only got a few minutes left, but I'd really love to hear a little bit about that. You know, your Peruvian experience was amazing. And I'd really like for you to share with the listeners what that meant to you on the wings with the condor and what that's all about.
Yes. So the Peru section goes through the nine rites of initiation in the Caro tradition of the Andes, the shamanic tradition. So if readers are interested in that, interested in those rites of initiation, I would definitely recommend checking out this book. I also do give those rites of initiation. They're energetic. So the book is kind of laid out according to different levels of shamanic non-ordinary reality. So the underworld, the middle world, and the upper world, basically, mapped onto each of these countries as well. So Peru would be the upper world. And so it is, it's this otherworldly, very light, filled with light, spiritual kind of place. And the dreams here, there are dreams that function in each of the sections, but here the dream is really getting back to that, dreaming the world into being. Mm. And we all have this great gift and the great responsibility to create the world we all live in. We're always doing it in every moment with the energies and the thoughts and the feelings that we're putting out there. We literally are creating our own lives and the world we're living in. And so, really, we need to be absolutely awake as we're dreaming. Paradoxically, we need to be really conscious of the thoughts we're thinking and the actions we're taking, and to create this the world in the very best way that we can for ourselves and others. And so that's really a lot of what that last section is about, or a big piece of it, anyway.
Well, as somebody who has been studying shamanic teachings for quite some time, I really look forward to finishing off that piece of the book, because I didn't quite make it that far, and I'm really excited about experiencing that part. And you end the book with some amazing energetic practices, and I don't really want to say energetic practices. There's some, what you call 10 essential practices. And listeners, I encourage you to to grab Tanya's book, you can visit her website at Soul Dust Academy, which I absolutely love. I know I said that before, but I think that's such a beautiful name. And all of her information, of course, will be available at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. Tanya, we've got less than a minute left, and I want to say thank you so much for joining me here today. I offer you a deep bow, and I would love for you to leave the listeners with a quick thought they can take out into the day to elevate their soul and empower their life.
Oh, gosh, I guess I would just continue with this great gift that we have to create the world. So I would encourage people to just be in a space of love and peace and joy, as it kind of, you know, cliche that might sound, but it's just wonderful for ourselves and for the world. The more that we can be in gratitude and love and kindness, and as we embody those states of being, then we're there. So it just takes the conscious decision to do that, and then it manifests before us. So
I love that. And I love that you said, as we embody that ourselves, that it spreads out to the world. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And I look forward to the future.
Thank you so much for having me.